going to rant for a second here. I warned you last week that this Sunday would be a Sunday where we try something that I have never seen done by a church before. We are in a series called Something Different, so we're going to try something different. If you have a connector card, and on your connector card you have a crazy smiley face sticker, I want you to consider the following invitation. We are inviting you to give this morning's message. So, like I said, this could be really bad or really good. I don't know. Here's what you need to know. We are going to talk through 1 Thessalonians 1, 3. And Cy is narrating, and he's got a bunch of questions, and we're going to sit down, and we're going to chat about the questions he has. Out of sharing life together, I hope we all grow in our understanding of who God is and what he's doing in our midst. But this is scary, is it not? We're kind of freakish. All right. I want to set the premise again. So if you have one of those stickers, we're taking 5 people, maybe 6. If you could discern properly, like, am I supposed to be one of the people up there? You don't have to be a Christian to come up here. I just want, you know, someone who's willing to say, I will share. I don't want you to come up here and sit the entire time. Okay? So, if you have one of those and you are willing to participate and help, come right up here, introduce yourself to Cy behind the speaker quick. He's going to get your name and stuff. And go on, because as soon as I'm done talking, we're starting. So if you have a connector card with a sticker and you are willing to share, there's only like 14 of them, so I hope some of you got one. If you're willing, come on now. Some of you are hiding. If this is totally uncomfortable for you, don't do it. Give it to the person next to you. And make them walk on up. All right? So, I really need you to consider this. Wow. You got a sermon in your back pocket? We might need it.
Doug, I saw you throw that. Grab it.
Hey, if they're not comfortable, they don't need to. All right, so, but please, start lining up. Here comes one. I need someone else who has a sticker. There's one. Well, these need a couple more. Thank you. There's 2. Wonderful. 3. Sarah, you are excited, aren't you? Whoopee! All right. Come on up. I need at least 2 or 3 more. If you did not get a sticker, but somehow you're feeling like today is my day to preach it, we welcome you. I think it's always scary when you're like, I've got something to say.
Oh my gosh.
That's why we got a mic here that we can mute at any time. No. You, Chris? Do you want me to? Yeah, he's shuffling up. All right, we got another one. That's great. Perfect. This will be good. You coming? Yes. Yes. All right. I'm going to turn my mic off, Phil. Is that what you want me to do?
Randy Schmitz, really?
Are you curious?
Yeah.
So am I. All right. So they're still working.
Okay.
They're still working out some mic issues. But one of the things I want to tell you is, like, I know they're watching. You can watch the mic. Then they aren't making eye contact, and the mic picks you up. So
questions. Here are what we're asking. So you've got them.
You can look ahead.
Well, you can look ahead, and you can also, that way I don't have to repeat the question 46 times, because that'll be awkward for those guys. Not that they're out there, but they are out there. Okay, so here's who we've got up here. Martin Schmidt.
Hi.
Chris.
I don't feel so well.
I'm just kidding. Chris Ogden right here. This is Grant. Grant, can you wave? This is Lacey. That's Sarah. And Jules and Randy. All right, that's a good crew. Okay. So here's the verse. This is the verse that we're going to be talking about today. And it's from 1 Thessalonians, and that's the book we've been going through here for Something Different. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, here's kind of the layout. What we're doing is we're going to be talking about those those three statements there at the end. Your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance sponsored or inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where we're headed. So we're going to ask some questions to kind of see. And what we're really looking for is, what are some things from your life that maybe you've experienced some of these things so that you'd be willing to share with the rest of us? So, now, anybody can go first, but here's our first question, okay? It's the second question on your list. Is, can you tell me about a time in your life when your faith was increased? Something happened to you that increased your faith.
My wife and I was in an accident a couple years ago, and it was a traumatic experience. I was always in the Lord. I was raised in it. I chose not to follow it. It was a little bit harder path to follow the Word than it was just to do my own thing. And I knew one day I did need to come back to the Lord. And after the accident, it really gave me such more belief that I am here for a reason. I'm not questioning that reason. I'm letting Him lead me. Now, by no means am I totally cured with wanting to follow that path. I've lived the wrong path for so long. I give it and I take it back. And but that's kind of where I'm at with my more of a faith. I think the hardest part for me is, like what the song said, take your crown off and kneel down before Him. And for me to take my crown off is pretty difficult from where I've come from. I hope that answered the question.
All right. Thank you, Randy.
Anyone else have a time in their life where their faith was increased? Yeah, go for it, Jules.
I was living in the Omaha area, and I did not want to leave. And my kids and I, we were in a shelter. And the counselors there continually encouraged me to leave the area, that the kids and I needed to leave. And I did not want to leave and take them farther away from their father. And I laid in bed one night and I just told God, I said, I'm going back to the house that the kids know. If you want me out of there, you have got to just take me out of that house. And within about 3 weeks, I and the kids were removed from the house. We were told that we needed to move.
So that was a time where God really stepped in.
That's when God really had to, you know, He knew where I was at. He understood my heart, that I didn't want to take the kids farther away from their father, miles away. But yet I needed to get out of the area. He knew that. Awesome. And so he removed me. And I thank God for it.
All right. How about, there's a phrase here I put down. What does the phrase lifestyle of faith mean to you?
Dude, if we're going to skip around. Yeah, I suppose to me, a lifestyle of faith would mean continually making decisions that do not make sense outside of having faith that God will lead you and will make sense of it on the other side. That as opposed to society, to friends and family, making those decisions just seem ridiculous. And certainly there are health issues to consider as well, but not just making decisions that are dumb, but decisions that you feel led by God to step out, do things that you're not comfortable with, but that God will honor and that will bring others potentially closer to a relationship with Him or help them grow in their faith because you were willing to step out. That's how I would see a lifestyle of faith.
Yeah, anyone seen the TV show MTV Cribs? Like, seriously, you seen it? I mean, I have. And it's about their lifestyle, and you get a window into how they live, and that's their lifestyle. You get a picture because of, I mean, that's a window into who they are. And so I think a lifestyle of faith, it's as if someone could show up and videotape you, and they would get a picture of your lifestyle. And if your lifestyle is one of faith, that should be represented by your actions or by your demeanor or by your relationships. I think a lifestyle of faith, like Grant said too, is just one where you probably are making decisions that have people go, hmm, there's common sense, and then there's what you just did, you know?
And I think you have to show your fridge.
Your fridge.
Yeah. Your fridge, right?
Right.
You have to.
In a lifestyle of faith, you'd have to
show your refrigerator.
Show your refrigerator.
Right.
Maybe, I don't know. Okay. Hey, I don't know. I'm just saying. He brought it up. Okay. How would your days be different if your job or vocation was faith in our Lord Jesus Christ? So that was your number one thing to do every single day. How would your days be different?
Next question.
Who invited him? Can somebody see if he's got a sticker on that thing? Anybody? So I just, here's the way I look at it. I listened to a message from a church up in Michigan, and the guy's name is Ed Dobson, and he was diagnosed 2 years ago with Lou Gehrig's disease. And he made a pact. He talked to God and he said, I want to live literally as Jesus lived for 1 year. And how he did this, that meant that he was intentionally focused on living as Christ lived for a year. So that meant as soon as he woke up, and this is a man with Lou Gehrig's disease, that means his legs don't really work anymore. His right arm, he can't lift more than about right here. He can go about like this. His hands don't really work anymore. His body is shutting down. And the first thing he thought about for more than a year, how am I going to live literally like Jesus lived today? And to me, that is so different than how I get up and start in the morning. As soon as I wake up, I'm like, thank you, God, Isaac isn't up yet. That's my son. Because I'm like, I don't have to start trying to deal with that yet. So, but to have the first thing be, wow, how can I literally be like Christ today? That, to me, is how you could start down that path. Anybody else?
The words job or vocation jump out at me. And like when I think of a, having a J-O-B, as you tell me, Si, or a vocation, like those naturally have me think like work, output, not fun, like I have to give of myself and not get something in return. And so if how would my days look different if I worked at it, if I, it would change some things, because really right now I'm looking for what can my faith give me, and this is flipping that, and what can my faith give out?
So Randy said it, I think, pretty well. So here's another question that's not on here, sorry. Is faith easy?
Why not? You said something.
It's hard for me, 'cause we have bumps in the road, and when I hit those, I start to question God and my faith and whether or not what I'm believing is necessarily right. Because if it was, why am I going through such things, and why is it so hard to stay on the right path?
Anyone else have bumps in their road? Can we see a show of hands? Yeah. So is faith easy?
Anybody else?
No.
No, faith is not easy. There are times when faith sails, and you have all the faith that you know you could ever need, and it's overflowing and it's abundant. And then, like you said, you come into a bump in the road, and all of a sudden you're down, face down in the dirt, and at that point, your faith is the only thing you have to keep a hold of God. And you, there are times where in everybody's life, you are just literally hanging on for dear life with just faith, mm-hmm. not seeing anything else. And I think it's at those times that that God can really purge you, get your focus back to Him on a more basic level, and to see He really wants to test you and see, are you really with me? And that's what those bumps in the road I feel are for. And
that's good.
Yeah, that's good. So, kind of on this work kind of idea, what does the word, so could you kind of define, what's your definition of the word labor? Chris, what do you think?
I think labor room. Just
labor room.
That's right. Been there a few times, not for me, but you know, and like if I think labor, I'm like, whoa, I want nothing to do with that.
Kathy, are you good? Does that do anything for you? Okay. Kathy's like 9.5 months pregnant. She's really? Here. So if you say labor again, she just may go.
Labor.
Anybody else? Definition? Definition of the word labor.
Get up and do something.
Get up and do something. I think manual labor or laborer, so it's like toil, it's difficult. So here's the next question. Can you tell me about a time from your life when you have labored in love?
I can think of more times when I've chosen not to.
Choose out of it, because it's, again, it's hard, right?
It's hard.
So I think about my dad. So my dad, and my wife knows, my dad's a hard guy to love, because he doesn't give it back. He's old school, and that's not his style. So that, when I think about laboring in love, it's me trying to find out, figure out, and even though I may not be receiving love back, to keep pushing forward, and to keep working so that he knows that he is loved by me. And so when I think of that phrase, that's first where I go.
I guess when Cy had mentioned that it's labor, something that takes manual work and is sometimes difficult. A few years ago, I had went to a camp called Uplift Mountain. And on the obstacle course, it's pretty hard work. But the point of it is kind of to show in life, you know, that you labor, you have to work for your love in Jesus to grow and just work in that relationship. So on the obstacle course, you're going through all these, like, these tires and climbing walls and running up hills and carrying logs and stuff. And but through the whole time, you're just thinking, this is for Jesus. I'm laboring. I'm... you know, really laboring in love for Him. This is all to give to Him. And at the end, it's just really rewarding that you've made it through it.
I think for me, like, I think about being a dad. And we've got a lot of diapers in our house. We're kind of moving our way. But, like, there is an element of, like, this is what it is. It smells like it is, and yet I'm going to take care of this. Like, I'm going to stick on it. I'm going to, like, well, not, oh, I don't want to stick on it. Who let this guy have a mic?
Labor room and poop. That's where we've got.
I mean, that's where my head goes, you know? But there's something about staying with it day after day after day after day. I think labor is this, it's not here for a moment, and then, that's not really love. Love is just keeps going and going and going and going. And so for me, like, I need to transition into this mindset of, it's less about this moment, it's more about the journey over a course of time. I can be nice to someone once. that bothers me. It's the second time, and the third time, and the fourth time, and then they say something that really offends me, and then it's the fifth time. I think that's more of a picture of laboring in love. Are we willing to just keep going day after day? Not just right here and right now, but will we step back into it the next day? I'm not supposed to be preaching. Sorry. What's your choice, Mr. Loudmouth? You got an idea of labor of love?
I was distracted by your
preaching. Oh, okay, all right. We'll go to the next question then.
So we know what labor is, and we're talking. Why does love prompt that labor? So why does love prompt up in us the want to go put that effort forth?
Because love is to be shared. It's not to be kept to yourself. It's to go out. You know, God puts his love in us, and he puts so much into us that we have to let it out. You know, we cannot contain it.
I really like that answer.
That was good, yeah. Nice work. Okay, go ahead.
For me, a labor of love, since moving back to my hometown, Oskaloosa, I live just down the street from my grandma and grandpa, and a labor of love has been mowing their yard with one of those push mowers that, has the self-propel, but that doesn't work very well, so it weighs like 6,000 pounds. Like a trim mower that weighs, like, it's heavy, super heavy. And so I mow my grandma and grandpa's yard, and by no means have I come close to paying back the love that they've showed me for the 30-some years. Like, they are, I labor of love, mow their yard, and a lot of times just talk and hang out and eat treats afterwards, because that seems like the very least that I could do for all the love that they've shown. So it's kind of, I will never pay back the love that they've shown to me, but I choose into that even in spite of a super heavy lawnmower. That just seems like the least I can do.
I can see Grant pushing a riding lawnmower from behind. It's on, but he's just pushing it. I don't know why that picture popped in my mind. Sorry. Whew. Hey, it wasn't labor room or poop, so there you go. Okay, so here's some words. I'm going to throw these words out there, and I just want you to kind of, what are the things that come to mind when I say these words? Endurance, patience, or steadfastness? Steadfast.
Is that three words?
I don't even know. Nah, it's probably not a word. Steadfast? That's a word. Endurance, steadfast, patience. What from your life comes to mind? For me, endurance. I've run 4 half marathons. That's endurance. Run is probably the wrong word to use there. Completed for what? I don't have the shape of a marathon runner, you're saying. But that's so something that it takes a long time to train for it, and it takes a long time to complete it. Tell me you have nothing from your life where you've used patience. How about right now?
I think children do that. You have kids.
They have endurance.
And you, well, to me, when I'm looking at this, I'm seeing this, it needs to be switched around. It needs to be steadfastness. It produces endurance. And in that, produces patience. That's the way I'm seeing it. And with children, you have to have a steadfastness in your love, in the way you handle them, in the way you raise them, in the way you show them, you know, how, where they will go, who they are. And you're doing that from the time that they're here on earth up until you pass away. You know, you're there for your kids, and there's a steadfastness in raising kids, and that produces endurance, because you have to be able to endure anything. And it produces patience, not only in yourself, but it also reflects, I feel, and can produce a patience with the children for themselves, that they be patient with themselves in their growth.
Well, yeah, and I don't know if this is following up too closely, but like I think of my wife when I see those three words. Now, that might mean that I'm the kid that Jules is referring to, that, but for me, like, I see her living out those qualities and her response to, so that's, it's encouraging to me.
Yeah. So how about this? How do you know if you have hope?
How do you know if you have hope?
How do you know if you have hope? No whispering.
We're comparing answers.
Okay. Now a team. How do you know if you have hope? How does that exude? How does that rise to the surface if you have hope? Or how do you see hope in someone else? Maybe that's easier.
To me, it would be not running away from it. To me, it would be not running away from it. You know, you'd head on, go with it regardless of what, you know, what it brought. I guess I feel it in my heart. A lot of times there's no word, it's just a feeling.
Yeah.
Just a feeling that you get.
Yeah.
So I agree with Randy on that one, and now I'm going to flip that just on its side for a second. So can you tell me about a time in your life when hope has been more than a feeling? It's been more of an action than a feeling.
Helping other people, getting involved. Helping other people, getting involved. Don't sit there, you know, like the labor, you know, just get right with it. And again, it goes back to the feeling. When you do a good day's work, you put your feet up, you know you did it.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, that's it. That's not right.
Anybody else? Okay. So this is our last question. So, band, if you guys want to cruise this way, that'd be good. Okay. This is a long question. It's the big, fat question at the end. So you guys probably want to read along on this one. So last five words in the verse are, in our Lord Jesus Christ. So how do these words play into your thoughts on those statements? So, for example, work produced by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Labor prompted by love in our Lord Jesus Christ, and endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ.
For me, when we add those words, in our Lord Jesus Christ, add those to any of the phrases, endurance, work, labor, without Lord Jesus Christ, I'm much less likely to endure anything, I'm not as likely to have hope, quicker to give up, stop short of anything hard. On my own, I would set expectations low, and if I achieve those, then I'm finished. I wouldn't try harder without knowing that that I'm doing something for Christ.
Amen.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you.
Anybody else on that one? Again, the whispering. Seriously. We're clear, I think. You set the mic up even, Chris. Come on. Okay. So.
Hi.
Thank you. Okay. Could we give, this is kind of a big deal for these guys to come up here. Could you give them a round of applause? Thanks. So I've got one last question for Marty, and then thanks, Jules. Thanks, Sarah. So 1 Thessalonians, that's what we're looking at. This was written to a church. It was written to a group. So from your perspective, how do you see this being lived out? What could it look like for a church to live out these phrases that we talked about this morning?
Week in our nitty-gritty meeting or this morning in our membership meeting, we are centering on this idea of being a people who are known by this faith and are working in this love and want to be enduring in this hope. And I look at it, it means it's a group of people that are action-oriented. It's one thing to believe and have faith. It's another thing to live out your faith. Those look completely different. It's a one thing to say, I love someone. It's another thing to show that love. It's one thing to say, I have hope. It's another thing to push forward and provide hope. Here's the thing about this passage. I did some studying on it. All of them are action-oriented in the present right now. They aren't future like, I will believe in Jesus or I hope something will happen. Hope, by the way, is the if you were to draw a picture of hope in the Bible, it's an anchor, which I hope this happens is not the same thing as I hope in Jesus. Hope in Jesus as an anchor is like, whoom, bam! And like, you're locked to it. Okay, side. One of the... I'm almost done. Sorry, you guys good? Great. Here's the thing. I think we're supposed to be a community of all three, but the most clear one we're supposed to be is a people who are a voice of hope. And hope, if you do the studying of this word hope in this setting, it means that not only do you believe in something coming to be good, but you're actually creating the something good in your own tough reality. To have hope is to recognize I'm in a hard spot. You don't need hope when things are good. You need hope when things are rough. And in the rough spot, hope is saying, and I'm going to change my rough spot and turn it into something beautiful. It's creating something new. In our wording, it's bridging heaven to earth. So what does it look like for a community of people to do this? Love your neighbor. Use kind words. Acts of service. Faithful in what we say we're going to do. So I look forward to continuing to exploring what this looks like with you and living this out with you. Next week, we will move on to verses 4 through 6. I don't know about you, but I'm having fun trying to figure this out. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to live my entire life obeying Him, following Him, living for Him, waiting for Him? What does that look like? I'm looking forward to the conversations going on from here. And so, could I encourage you to have conversations with other people? What does it look like to have faith? What does it look like to live out love? What does it look like to be a people of hope? Grab some coffee. Talk about these things. We want to encourage this to be a community of people encouraging and growing closer to the Lord together. And so, can I also say, sign up for a growth group. It's where conversations can take place. I really think we have growth groups that could impact you, but you have to take that step out there. So drop those off, the connector cards, tithes, offerings, all off in the Joy Box. Please know that we want to be available to you. So if you need prayer this morning, we're going to have a couple people over here who can just pray a blessing over you. For the rest of us, let's receive this blessing. Our Lord God, You are holy and we need You. So this week, I pray that the God of the universe paves a way for you and your realities that make Him known, that He gives you peace in your storms, that He makes straight your path, that He opens up your heart to more of who He is, and that our image of God is based on truth and not shaped by a false reality of the world. There's the blessing. There it is. God, give us a proper image of who You are. because we pursue whatever image we think God is or who God is. So, Lord Jesus, we need a healthy and proper image of who you are. Amen? May that be the blessing this week. May we have a proper image of you, God. Would you receive all the glory? Amen.